Before Cheryl reads our scripture lessons for this morning, I'd like to take an informal survey of you all. Think for a moment and then raise your hand if you feel that you could sometimes, in the normal routine of a day, use a little more patience. Just as suspected. I must tell you that I was simply amazed, astonished, as I did some research for this sermon, at the amount of information, thinking, writing, and advice on the topic of patience. So much so that one might begin to wonder if patience should be listed as an endangered human attribute. And then from my research, it seems pretty clear and affirmed by your show of hands that the demand for patience far outweighs the supply. Well, centuries ago, the psalmist and the apostle Paul both weighed in on this really timeless topic of patience. As you will hear, the psalmist says, "Do not fret." And then as you listen to the words of the apostle Paul, I would encourage you to remember this. Paul's words might seem a little bit flowery and beautiful, almost pie in the sky, too good to be true, easier said than done, but they were offered in a very concrete situation. The church at Colossus, like so many of the early Christian churches to whom Paul wrote his now famous epistles, was struggling. The church there in Colossus was struggling for survival and passing through some very difficult and challenging times of growth and persecution, oppression. These early churches really did face significant trial and tribulation. And therefore, if Paul thought early Christians should allow the power of the risen Christ to strengthen them and give them patience during times of life-threatening hardship and persecution, then it might not be a stretch to expect that we might show a greater patience at stoplights and stop signs, when our children need our attention, and when we face the normal craziness of our everyday lives. But once again, perhaps easier said than done.
Our first lesson is from the Old Testament, Psalm 37, 1 through 7. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so you will live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. And our second lesson is from the New Testament, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. May God bless our understanding of this reading.
Well, I have another survey question for you. Who is currently demonstrating the most patience? A, the Republican contenders for United States President. B, the Democratic candidates for United States President. C, the electorate, American electorate. Or D, this cute golden retriever on the front of the bulletin. D. I think the dog ought to be called Patience. Great name for that dog, Patience. Seriously, the human attribute of patience has apparently been an endangered species for centuries. The paucity of patience is not just a 21st century phenomenon. The need for more patience has been a fact of life for centuries, with philosophers, religious thinkers, essayists, and nearly everyone weighing in on the issue. From the ancient proverb, "Rome wasn't built in a day," to the words of St. Vincent de Paul, "All comes at the proper time to him who knows how to wait," to popular sayings and axioms of our own day and age, "A watch pot never boils," or "You lose a lot of battles in the process of winning the war." And still, today we do seem to be living in a culture and in a society that loses its patience rather quickly. We all know the common flashpoints: waiting for the stoplight to turn green so we can hurry to make our appointment, or rolling through the stop sign so we can gain an extra second on our day, jockeying dangerously to get to the right lane at Stop and Shop, waiting for the website to download, which seems to take forever, listening impatiently to our children when they have something important to tell us, and all we can think about is the long list of chores and the schedule we need to keep for the day. Our society's propensity for impatience recently occurred when a man's car stalled in heavy traffic, and then as the light turned green, his engine just wouldn't restart. A chorus of honking began to come forward from behind him. The man, frustrated, finally got out of his car and went to the first car in the line behind him and said apologetically to that driver, "I'm so very sorry, but I can't seem to get my car started. If you go up there and give it a try, I'll stay here and honk your horn for you." Patience is something that we all want more of, but how do we change our ways? How do we become more patient? I don't know if you noticed, but in those initial bits of wisdom from past centuries about patience, the writers and philosophers speak of the importance of having patience, but shed very little light on exactly how we can actually increase our patience. And that is what I encountered over and over again in my research. Sage wisdom on the importance of having patience, but a woeful lack of down-to-earth how to get there. One common thread I did manage to find, however, is the premise that if you practice, patience will come. Practice makes perfect. Practice can make for more patience. Then the thought occurred to me that perhaps the most helpful thing I could do this morning was not just preach on patience, but rather give you all the opportunity to practice with a 45-minute sermon on patience. And that thought wasn't original to me. The great 19th century preacher Henry Ward Beecher once said, "There is no such thing as preaching patience into people unless the sermon is so long they have to practice it while they listen." Well, one humorous and true story of a truck driver who practiced patience took place at an all-night restaurant in Broken Bow, Nebraska. The waitress had just finished serving this tall, swaggering truck driver when three motorcyclists came in, and they apparently were spoiled for a fight. They grabbed his hamburger, took some French fries, and then began to take his coffee as well. Well, the big truck driver did not respond as you might have expected. Instead, he calmly and patiently rose, picked up his check, walked to the front of the room, put his check and the money down at the register, and then went out the door. The waitress followed him, put the money in the till, and then stood there watching out the window as the big truck drove away. When she returned to the cyclist, one of them said, "Well, he's not much of a man, is he?" She replied, "I can't answer to that, but I do know that he's not much of a truck driver. He just ran over three motorcycles on his way out." Someone once said that patience is the ability to keep your shirt on when you are hot under the collar. And then back in the 4th century, speaking to us, St. Augustine wrote, "Patience is the companion of wisdom. Patience is the companion of wisdom." One can only guess that this streetwise truck driver had experienced enough of the world's hurly-burly troubles that he was patient enough to keep his shirt on and also wise enough, if in a slightly vengeful way, to get the upper hand with his tormentors. And that is exactly what the Apostle Paul was counseling the church of Colossus, who, like most early Christians, were almost always facing tormentors and persecutors. In saying to that early church, "Endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to God," Paul was really saying to those early persecuted Christians, "Keep your shirt on, keep your wits about you, and always do what is right." In other words, follow the example of Christ's life, a life of forbearance, trust, faith, and patience, and you will find a new life of peace, joy, and you too will be rescued from that power of darkness. A young Christian convert was hoping for a little more patience and peace and joy in his life. And so he asked an older believer to offer a prayer for him. "Will you please pray that I become more patient in my life?" The older believer said, "Of course." And they knelt together, and then the man began to pray, "Lord, send this young man tribulation in the morning. Send this young man tribulation in the afternoon. Send this young man," and finally the young man blurted out, "Stop, I didn't ask for tribulation. I wanted you to pray for patience." The wise Christian said, "But it is through tribulation that we learn patience." Well, lest I be accused of trying your patience, time to wrap up this sermon. But it seems as though I have only joined the ranks of so many people before me in offering not a prescription for achieving patience in one's life, but unfortunately just another description of patience and its high ranking among life's most desired virtues. But I close with a story that might help us a little bit. Again, a true story that teaches us one of the most important lessons of living in this world with patience. And that lesson is that patience with other people begins with appreciating and understanding the trials and tribulations that the other person might be going through. Imagine all of us have experienced that airplane trip when we were seated right next to or near a young child or an infant. Well, this story is not about airplane travel, but rather about a train traveling through our nation's great Midwest with carloads of tired people. Most of the passengers had spent the day traveling through the hot, dusty plains, and at last, evening had come, and they all hoped to settle down to a sound and good night's sleep. At one end of the car, however, was a man holding a tiny baby, and as night came on, the baby became restless and cried and cried and cried. Well, unable to take it any longer, a big, brawny man spoke up for the rest of the train car of weary passengers, "Why don't you take that baby to its mother?" There was a moment of silence, and the reply came back, "I'm sorry, I am doing my best. The baby's mother is in a casket in the car in front of us." Silence overcame the car. But then that same big man who had asked that cruel question was out of his seat and moved toward the man with the child. He apologized for his impatience and for his unkind remarks. Then he took the baby in his own arms and told the father to get some sleep. Then with loving patience, that man held that child all night long. Perhaps after all, there is no surefire, guaranteed prescription for becoming more patient, especially when life can throw at any of us curveballs and difficulties. Rather, perhaps it is simply a matter of realizing that God has truly blessed us and will continue to bless us day in and day out. Perhaps even in the midst of life's most difficult challenges, we can have patience, because God has blessed us with the promise of new life in Jesus Christ and the never-ending love and compassion of family, friends, a church community like this, who surround and hold us close during life's challenges. And so, friends, when we take stock of all our blessings and when we take stock of God's amazing love and grace, then we can perhaps try to endure everything with patience while joyfully giving thanks to God. Amen.